We present King Street Junior by Jim Eldridge, starring James Grout as Mr. Beeston, the head teacher.
Hello, King Street Junior. Oh, good morning, Mr. Clark. Any news on the supply teacher situation? Oh, dear. Yes, a pity about him. I hope it wasn't the class that drove him to it. Oh, that's good. But there does seem to be a bit of a jinx on Mr. Sims's class, doesn't there? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Beeston isn't in the office at the moment. Well, it might be a while. He's having a session with the teachers and children who are going on this weekend trip. Yes, they're going to the seaside after school today. I know, lucky for some. Yes, well, I'll tell Mr. Beeston you rang. I'm sure he'll be on to you first thing on Monday. Yes, I know you will. Thank you. Bye. But I suppose I came upon it quite by chance, really.
Pass over the biscuits, will you, Mrs. Patterson?
Here.
Thank you. Hello. Who's had all the chocolate ones?
Not me.
Well, don't look at me.
It's almost the same.
As I was saying, Mrs. Patterson, it was most fortunate that I saw this advertisement. As a result, I was able to negotiate a very reasonable price.
Well, if the weather stays like this, you're all going to come back with a tan.
Have you noticed?
What?
No one ever eats the ones with a custard bit in the middle.
Oh. Anyway, you're going straight after school?
Yes, we thought it best not to arrive too late. Get the children to bed in reasonable time.
Mm. Pack your bucket and spade, Fred.
Not me. The others may be going for fun and frolics, but someone's got to be there to keep some kind of order.
I hope you're not suggesting that Miss Lewis and I will be less than responsible.
Oh, no, but I've been on these trips before. Things can get out of hand.
Well, I'll think of you lot being responsible Saturday night. While I'm relaxing at home, hopefully letting a few things here and there get out of hand.
Hey, you! Young Andrew! Take that out of your mouth. You don't know where it's been.
What, this, sir?
Yes, and don't look so innocent. Honestly, the thing these kids put in their mouths. It's a wonder their stomachs survive.
Oh, don't you wish you were going with us this weekend?
Mr. Beeston asked me, but, you know, with Sarah the way she is.
Oh, of course.
She said she'd manage all right. Trouble is, it's a weekend. I like to be around.
How long before the baby's due?
Well, she's still 3 months to go. But she's out here already. I reckon it's either triplets or a baby elephant.
The things some people do to get out of going on a school trip.
You know me. I planned it all last October. Sound patient. The coach will soon be here.
Will you be going in the sea, Mr. Holliday?
At this time of year.
There's sharks in the sea, ain't there, Mr. Holliday?
Oh, not where we're going, dear, ain't.
How do you know?
Because my dad said so. We're going to Kent, and all the sharks are on the other side.
Sharks can swim, can't they, Mr. Holliday?
That's right. They can swim around to where we are. Hey, Mr. Holliday?
I think it's unlikely you'll see any sharks.
Hey, the coach is coming! Oh!
They'll be here, don't you worry. Now, you lot, stand well back. Clear of the coast. Did you hear me, George?
Come on, they're waving at us.
Bon voyage!
You'll never hear that.
They can see us waving.
It's a bit like seeing off the Titanic, isn't it?
Oh, Mr. John.
Hey, they've certainly got some terrors on board.
And that doesn't include Mr. Beeston.
I just hope this weather holds out for them. It's not a very promising forecast.
I don't trust those weather people.
Yeah, nor do I.
That's why I always go out dressed for all possibilities.
I've seen you. Sunglasses and gumboots.
Always wear a Mac, that's my motto. It's called practicing safe weather.
Now, Mercer Street should be a-turning just along here. Yes, according to the map, it's the next on the left. Next on the left, driver.
All right, I heard.
Are you sure?
I can read a street map, Mr. Holliday.
But I thought you said we'd be near the sea.
We are, relatively speaking.
Oh, yes.
It's no more than a brisk walk away, 2 or 3 minutes at the most.
We're providing your name's Linford Christie.
Slow down, driver, slow down. We're looking for number 16.
Has it got a name?
Yes, the Bellevue Guest House.
Oh, there it is, down there on the right.
Where? It can't be.
It is.
But that's got to be a condemned building.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Pull up here, driver.
Are you sure we've come to the right place, Mrs. Rudd?
Yes, according to this brochure they sent when I bought.
It looks a bit, well, run down.
Yes. Well, I must admit, it does not appear to be quite up to the standard which I'd been led to believe. But looks can be deceptive. I'm sure when we get inside, we'll find everything perfectly satisfactory.
Don't start getting off yet, Ajax.
Now, pay attention, all of you. Now, stay in your seats, and Mrs. Rudd and I are going in first to make sure everything's all right.
And what was that you were saying on the coach, Mrs. Rudd?
Well, it is out of season, you know.
Out of season? This place is practically out of the Adams family.
Quiet, someone's coming.
Yeah, I dread to think who or what.
Good evening, can I help you?
Mr. Burns.
That's me.
I'm Mrs. Rudd from King Street Junior. This is Mr. Beeston, the head teacher.
Oh, yes, yeah. I've got a booking for you, haven't I?
I believe so.
Hang on, I'll just get the book.
You don't mind my asking, but you are open, are you?
The season hasn't really started yet, but yes, we are open.
Well, I did just wonder.
Ah, yes, here's the book. Yes, you can see we're not quite ready yet.
Well, that was my impression.
Well, I might as well be frank with you. I'll be tidying up a bit for the visitors, but I'm not doing much. I just can't afford it. It'll cost thousands to bring this place up to standard.
It's not likely to fall down, is it?
Well, not over this weekend, anyway.
Oh, that's a relief.
No, I think you'll find it fairly comfortable, if a little, well... plain.
I'm sure we will. Now, Mr. Beeston, why don't I do the paperwork with Mr. Burns while you bring in the rest of our party?
When are we going to go in, Mr. Beeston? I don't want to go to the toilet.
In a minute, when Mr. Beeston gets back.
I hope he hurries.
In a minute, Ramsay.
But it has been a long journey.
I said we should have taken a B2049 and turned left on the A254.
You telling me my job?
No. I'm just saying it wouldn't have taken as long.
Really?
Everything's all right. Is this the place?
He says it is.
Who?
The owner.
Oh, that's all right, then.
What's it like inside?
Well, let me put it this way, Miss Lewis. I'm very thankful we're all insured.
Oh, dear.
Right, everyone.
Be quiet.
I can't simmer down. I want you to get out of the coach in a quiet, orderly fashion, right, and queue up by the side of the coach to collect your bag.
Make sure you do get to sleep. We all want to be up in good time tomorrow so we can go out and enjoy the seaside.
Yes, miss.
So we don't want to spend the time chasing you all out of bed.
No, miss.
So no noise and no messing about.
No, miss.
We won't, miss.
Oh, good night, then. Sleep tight.
Good night, miss.
It's a little room, isn't it?
Well, it is for the three of us.
Yeah. I reckon this place is creepy.
It's a bit like that place in this film I saw on telly on Monday.
Psycho?
Yeah, that's it. Did you see that?
Yeah. Oh. My mum would have let me watch it.
It was great. That bit where the bloke chops her up in the shower. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't hide dead bodies in this house.
Where would they hide them?
They'd bury them in the cellar.
Why would they bury them there? It'd be easier to bury them in the garden.
But people would see what you're doing in the garden.
You could tell them you were planting vegetables.
What? And then you chuck in a sack 2 metres long. What sort of vegetable's that?
A giant cucumber.
Do you think we ought to check out the cellar for signs of digging, just in case?
All right. But we do it when no one's around, and we keep it to ourselves, okay?
Well, I think that's my group all settled down at last.
Got mine done 10 minutes ago.
Oh.
It takes years of practice, Miss Lewis.
Oh, I can believe it.
What about your lot?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say settled down.
In their rooms, yes.
Mr. Burns told me I'd find you all in here. Oh,
been seeing them all asleep, have you?
No, Mr. Holliday, but everything seems to be in order.
Walls still standing, ceilings still overhead.
Oh, you do exaggerate.
Anyway, what's the schedule for tomorrow? Any ideas?
I do believe Miss Lewis was directing her question to me.
Well, actually, I wasn't directing it to anyone in particular.
But as group leader, I have given it some thought.
You, group leader? Since when?
Quite right, Mrs. Rudd.
Eh?
Being in charge of school trips has traditionally been the deputy head's job.
Well, if that was the case, Miss Lewis ought to share it. She's the deputy head elect.
Oh, now, please, leave me out of this.
Deputy head elects don't count.
Nor do any of you.
Perhaps I should remind you all just who organised this trip.
Well, maybe you did, but it's a school trip, and as head of the school...
It may be a school trip, but it is not in school time.
Now, Mrs. Rudd has a point.
Thank you.
No, it's an established fact. Tradition says that the deputy head is in charge.
There's no such tradition, Fred. Oh. You know there isn't. You just make up these things to suit yourself.
No, I don't.
Of course you do.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes?
I wondered if you'd care for a nightcap. We do still have a licence, and I can offer you a small selection of drinks.
Oh.
What a sensible idea.
Who's paying?
He is. He's in charge.
All right. Touché. You first, Mrs. Rudd. And if it's not too loaded a question, what's your poison?
I think I would prefer a cup of tea, if that is possible.
Right, everyone ready?
Ready?
For what?
They can't go down to the beach in this, sir.
It's cutting it down, sir.
I have no intention of doing so. Now go and join the others.
Yes, sir.
Well, what are we going to do?
Well, Mr. Holliday and I have been talking over, and we thought...
Talking what over?
Our plans for today.
When was this?
Just now, while I was shaving.
Without consulting Miss Lewis or me.
But I'm sorry I didn't invite you in. Next time I'm in the bathroom, I'll let you know.
You know perfectly well what I mean.
I'm sure they didn't do it deliberately.
Of course not.
Right, I've rounded up the stragglers. We're ready for off when you are.
Good. Well, as I was about to say, Mr. Holliday and I thought it would be a good idea, in view of the rain, to look for some indoor activity for this morning and take stock of the weather situation at lunchtime.
But what sort of indoor activity is there around here?
There is an excellent local museum, I believe.
No. Mr. Barnes told us there was a sports activity centre just up in the arcade.
That's right. There's badminton.
Yeah.
Roller skating. Indoor hockey.
And it's all undercover?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's perfect.
Do as you wish, but I intend to go to the museum. Who would like to come to the museum with me?
Oh, I will, miss.
Oh, just our luck, Miss Lewis. We're landed with the rabble again. All right, I didn't mean it.
Right, so where do we meet up for lunch?
Mr. Burns said there's a big cafe just opposite the arcade. That'd be as good a place as any.
Okay, Mrs. Rudd?
I think so, yes. And at what time?
Oh, let's say 12:30.
We shall be there.
Yeah, and with a bit of luck, the weather might have brightened up. We'll spend the afternoon on the beach.
Let us hope so, Miss Lewis.
Meantime, come on, coats on, everyone.
Yes, come on.
Time to go out and brave the elements.
Here, Mrs. Rudd.
What is it, Dorinda?
What's all this stuff here, behind the glass?
They look like
swords, don't they, miss?
Yes. Let me see. Oh, yes, these are jute swords.
Jutes? Ain't that like straw, miss?
Yeah. We did that with Mr. Long when he was teaching us about weaving.
Ah, but this is a different kind of jute. These jutes were people. They came to England with the Angles and the Saxons.
Oh, yeah. We've done angles as well. 90 degrees, 45...
No, not those sort of angles. These angles are people, like the jutes.
Oh, I thought they might be. It don't half confuse things, though. Why can't they choose different names for different things?
Well, let's see what it says. The jutes settled in Kent and Hampshire. They were the smallest of the three tribes that invaded England from what we now call Northern Germany.
Do you need any assistance, madam?
What? No, thank you.
We were just reading about the Jutes.
Oh, yes. Actually, the museum possesses some rare relics of Hengist and Horsa.
Oh, you got old horses in here.
Hengist and Horsa were kings of Kent. That is so, isn't it?
That's correct, madam.
Wrong. You should have known it'd be nothing to do with horses.
No. Hengist and Horsa were brothers, joint kings of Kent. In fact, we have the relics in a room over here if you're interested.
This is the life, isn't it, Fred? Sun, sand, and a belly full of good old fish and chips.
Can't beat it, can you?
It'll be perfect if you put that pipe out.
It's my first one today.
Is it?
Yeah.
Still, I suppose I should be grateful you're not stinking the room out.
Miss, the sun's all wet.
Of course it's all wet. It's been raining.
You fancy taking a dip, Mrs. Rudd?
I should think not.
Go on, give it a try.
France is in that direction.
Really?
Well, who wants to come with me? Do you really find any crabs?
Yes! Yes!
No, we're not going to catch crabs. We're going to look at them. Come on, Bonnie.
Miss Lewis, taking charge.
Practicing for next year, Fred.
All right.
If you two would like to go with them, I should be perfectly happy to stay here and look after our things.
Oh, volunteering for the tough one, eh?
Not at all, but someone should.
They'll be all right.
Well, according to the attendant at the museum, there has been a spate of theft just recently.
Oh, really?
Bag snatching, car theft, burglaries. He said it's practically reaching epidemic proportions.
It's funny you don't expect it in a place like this, do you?
I don't know. It's happening all over the place nowadays. You're not safe anywhere.
Exactly, which is why one of us should be here to keep an eye on our things.
It's all right, Mrs. Rudd. I'll do it. Sacrifice has always been part of a hedge job.
I fail to see what sacrifice is involved in just lying in the sun doing nothing.
It only looks as if I'm doing nothing. Looks can be deceptive.
Yes, well, I think I'll take a walk and give Miss Lewis a hand. Identify a few rocks and shells.
Good idea, Fred.
See you in a few minutes.
Right. Oh, all this activity, Mrs. Rudd. It's the sea air that does it, you know. Wake me up in about half an hour, would you?
Oh. Was that a drop of rain?
I didn't feel anything.
I don't like the look of those clouds, Mr. Beeston.
Oh, they'll pass. The breeze will soon blow them away.
I don't like the look of them at all.
Trust me, Mrs. Rudd, I know my weather.
That was another one.
Oh, rubbish.
For goodness sake, Mr. Beeston, it is beginning to rain.
Oh, yes, I think you may be right.
Oh, dear, it's pouring. What shall we do? The bags are getting soaked.
All right, leave it to me. Mr. Holliday, Miss Lewis, everyone back here, quick as you can. Mr. Holliday! Miss Lewis!
I'm really very sorry, but with all this lightning around, I'm afraid I've had to disconnect the television.
It's right like that.
Yes, I know, I'm sorry, but the electrics in the building are pretty ancient. And in the interests of safety, especially with the children around...
Don't worry, Mr. Burns, we all understand that.
Yes, good. But I do have some board games and things, that'll keep the children occupied.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
I'll dig them out for you. And why don't I make you all a cup of tea or something?
Oh, yes, please. That'd be very popular.
Right, I'll be as quick as I can.
Before you go, okay, if I use your telephone?
Of course, it's down in the basement next to the kitchen. Help yourself.
Thanks.
I'm just popping next door to get some more milk.
Phew, I'd rather him than me in this weather.
Yes, well, I'll just go and phone home. I promised Meg I'd call her sometime today to let her know everything's all right.
He's got a funny definition of all right. Typhoon Nora raging overhead and no TV.
No TV will make a nice change.
What about a sing-song round the piano?
That's Mrs. Rudd's department.
This is all her fault, you know.
What is all my fault?
Mr. Beeston's complaining about the lack of television.
Yes, Mr. Burns has already told me. And I hope you are not going to blame me for this weather.
No. Only for booking us in here.
You didn't complain when I first told you about it.
Well, I didn't realize it was going to mean travelling back in time to the start of the century.
Well, really, if this is all the thanks I get, then this is the last time I organize any school trips. I can promise you that.
Well, the trip down took longer than expected, but that's because no one listened to me. I told them we should have taken a B-2049...
Mr. Holliday.
No, I don't. Now, go away. I'm on the phone.
Do you mind if I wait?
Oh, all right. No, it's one of the children. It could be better. Yeah, it was all right for an hour or two, but it's chucking you down now. And that's lightning and goodness knows... Whoa!
Wow! Mr. Holliday!
Frankly, after all the time they spend in front of it at home, I think it will do no harm for the children to be deprived of television for one evening.
Mr. Beeston! Mr. Beeston!
Do you mind, child? I am speaking.
Mr. Beeston, please!
Didn't you hear, Mrs. Rudd?
Mr. Holliday's been struck by lightning.
What?
Where is he?
Down by the kitchen. He was talking on the phone, and then this blue flash came out of it and smacked him right in the ear.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
It was amazing, Mr. Beeston. Hey, hang on. Wait for me.
What's the thing you do for people who've been struck by lightning?
I don't know. Oh, the kitchen's through here, I think.
And all being well, I'll see you tomorrow around about 5.
You're all right.
What?
I said you're all right.
Of course I am. No, it's nothing. Bye, love.
We might have known it was a practical joke. Sally?
I'm here, miss.
What's happened?
This little joker just told us you've been struck by lightning.
Oh, she's right.
What?
Yes, it's this old Baker-like phone. One minute I was talking to Meg, the next I got this thump in the ear. The lightning must have struck the telephone connection and travelled along the wire.
Oh, it was this blue flash.
Yes, all right, we've heard about the blue flash.
Look, I think you ought to sit down, you know.
She's right, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, no.
How's your brain feel?
I'm all right. Will you stop fussing?
It's probably the shock.
No, it isn't. It's always like this.
Yeah, Mr. Holliday.
Go away.
Yes, miss.
All right, I've got the milk. I'll soon have it. What's happened?
Mr. Holliday's just had a shock.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not bad news.
What? No, a real shock.
He got struck by lightning. You know, through the phone.
Oh, my God.
It's all right. No harm done.
Has it burned your ear or anything?
I'm more worried about his brain.
Will you shut up about my brain?
Only if you have burned your ear, you might be covered on my insurance. I'll just go and check my policy.
How very thoughtful of him.
Thoughtful? I could have been killed. And he wants to check his insurance policy for burnt ears.
Well, he's obviously very concerned, Fred.
Yes, I suppose so.
I suppose if the brain has been affected, it won't show up for a little while.
Hey, you two awake?
Yeah.
What's the time?
Just gone 1 o'clock.
Right. They're all be in bed now.
I don't know. They're up late last night. I heard them nattering.
Yeah, but they're hardly talking to each other tonight, are they?
Where's this cellar?
I reckon it's under the basement.
So how do we get to it?
There's a door right at the back of the kitchen. I bet it's through there.
How will we know if they've buried any dead bodies down there?
Like you said, we check for signs of digging. And remember, we got to keep really quiet down there.
Mr. Beeston.
What?
Mr. Beeston, please.
Is it?
Mr. Beeston.
What on earth?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, all right. All right, I'm coming. Anyway. I'm just going to get the dressing gown on. What time is it? Oh, no.
Oh, thank goodness.
Mrs. Rudd, do you know what time it is?
1:30.
What on earth are you doing? Why aren't you in bed?
We have intruders.
What?
There are intruders on these premises.
Oh, please, Mrs. Rudd, go back to bed.
I'm serious. The museum attendant did warn me this morning of the burglaries they've been having here.
Yes, yes, you told me. But come on, a burglar would have to be pretty hard up to think of robbing this place.
But we are here, aren't we?
Well, one look at us would tell him we've nothing worth stealing.
Then why are there one or more people creeping around in the basement?
How do you know that?
Oh, it's you.
Yes, of course it is. Why aren't you asleep?
Well, I was until your chattering woke me up.
Chattering? I wasn't chattering.
Well, it woke me up, whatever it was. What's going on?
Mrs. Rudd heard a noise in the cellar. She thinks it might be a burglar.
What makes you think that?
I went down to the kitchen to get a drink of water, and I heard this noise underneath in the cellar, and voices whispering.
Oh, dear.
You're imagining it.
I am not, Mr. Beeston, I promise
you. What's happening
here? Dorinda, why aren't you in bed?
I couldn't sleep, miss. What's happening?
Nothing.
Why is everyone up then?
They aren't. Now go back to bed, Dorinda, this minute.
Yes, all right, miss.
Honestly.
So what do you propose to do about my noise, Mr. Beeston?
Well, if it is a burglar and he's heard all this, I should think he's probably scarpered by now.
Well, she's right, though. And we've got to think of the children.
Yes.
And you are in charge of our party if anything should happen.
Yes, all right. If it makes you feel any happier, I'll go and investigate your noise.
By yourself?
No fear. I'm going to drag Mr. Burns out of bed. It's his house.
Would you like me to alert Mr. Holliday?
Well, I don't see why not. If I'm not getting any sleep, I don't see why he should.
Very well.
No, forget it, Mrs. Rudd. I was joking.
This is hardly a time for jokes, Mr. Beeston, with intruders running loose in the house.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, you two go back to your rooms and leave it to Mr. Burns, eh? If there is anything suspicious, we'll decide on the best course of action.
I have never felt so humiliated in all my life. And all thanks to you three. You should be thoroughly ashamed of yourselves.
It wasn't my fault, miss. It wasn't this one,
I think the less you say
way, the better.
I can still see those policemen, though, charging down to the basement, truncheons at the ready.
I fail to see anything at all amusing in the whole incident.
Can't think how I slept through it all.
Well, the driver reckons 20 minutes before our halfway stop.
Oh, good.
The only bit of excitement the whole weekend, and no one had the decency to wake me up.
I don't know. I think you being struck by lightning just about tops the list.
How are you feeling today, Fred?
Fine.
And the brain? No after effects?
Oh, will you stop going on about that?
Is it all right if we swing a few stops?
Well, you better check with the driver first.
We asked him, and he says it would be all right.
No sense, some people.
Well, over to you, Mrs. Rudd.
Right, everybody, listen to me. Now, we are going to sing one or two songs to pass the journey. And I suggest we start with I Do Like to Be Beside the Sea.
Hanging on the wall. And if one green bottle should accidentally fall, there'd be nine green bottles hanging on the wall. Nine green bottles hanging on the wall. Nine green bottles hanging on the wall. And if one green bottle
You have been listening to King Street Junior by Jim Eldridge and starring James Grout as Mr. Beeston, the head teacher. Tom Watson featured as Mr. Holliday, the deputy head, Margaret John as Mrs. Stone, school secretary, Vivian Martin as Mrs. Rudd, Marlene Sidaway as Miss Lewis, Deirdre Costello as Mrs. Patterson, and Paul Copley as Mr. Long. Mr. Burns was played by Sean Prendergast, museum attendant by John Church, Tony by Nick McAllister, Ajaz by Sebastian Brennan, Dorinda by Tara Dean, Ranjit by John Pickard, Sally by Nadia Williams, and Suchinda by Beatrice.